God is moving.
God's awesome.
Amen. Have you come to get higher in the Lord today?
Yes.
Praise His mighty name. I tell you that we can expect the God that we serve to do awesome things.
Amen.
First of all, I expect a couple of announcements. I expect that there is the grand possibility that some of you may have prophetic words during this meeting or convocation or this wedding feast, whichever you would like to call it. And if you do, please hold those, until the speaker is finished. We'll try to make room for those because we want to know what God is saying.
Amen.
It's not that we don't know what He has said, but we love to have Him say more. Amen.
Amen.
You can get addicted to the Word of God and to the voice of the preceding Word of an Almighty God.
Amen.
So that is first. And secondly, we have handouts that show the schedules. And so hopefully you'll find one of those. If you don't have one already, it'll show the schedule of the things and the directions that we're going. It'll tell you when we're going to meet so you don't miss out.
Amen.
Now it's my honor and privilege to introduce a man that God has sent to us by way of Canada, by way of Norway, and he's been to Wales. His name is Glenn Jackson. You may be seated. And the Lord has moved him here to be one with us in ministry, one with us in purpose, and we have been blessed by his presence.
Amen.
He is affectionately known as Mr. Pinpoint Accuracy by those of us that are here. And so I would like to invite Glenn Jackson. I believe that it is safe to say and also okay with God to present him as an apostle of the Lord called to join like-minded congregations around the world together in this third day church. And so we know that God is using him in a great way, and I believe God has something to say through Glenn today. So Glenn, would you come? Give us a moment. We're going to change microphones.
Let's just open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this precious time of gathering together. We thank you for all the years past. We thank you for these past 5 months. We just thank you for everything that you've done in our lives through and in Christ. We thank you, Father, that we are on the threshold of the greatest time in the history of the church. And we just praise you for that, Father, and give you all the glory. And Father, I just ask for a certain and special impartation today of your heart to your people, so that they may come to know you, and we all may come to know you in a way that we've never known you before, but that you've always desired from your deepest heart. So we just praise you for that, Father, and we count it done. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll turn over to Luke 10, please. There are so many things that have happened in the past weeks and months, and they've all been very special. I've had the distinct privilege of being here the last 8 months, and I've watched, regardless of what else has happened, you know, as God has dealt with each of us and prepared us for the days ahead, as I've come into the church here and I've heard the teachings, just, you know, one after the other, no matter what's been happening outwardly, it has been a perfect elevation in the Spirit. And so God is preparing His people and has prepared His people. And I know that you'll be very blessed this weekend as the various speakers impart what the Father has imparted to them over those months. And so I just encourage you to open your hearts wide, because this is a very critical time. And, you know, the Father has specific things to speak to your heart, and I know that He will. And I know, as Bill mentioned, there will be, and I want you to keep these words in your heart, a certain empowerment to bless you, a certain impartation to elevate you and to prepare you perfectly for the days ahead. So in Luke 10:27, we'll start in verse 25, actually. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and put him to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said to him, "What is written in the law? How does it read to you?" And he answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he, Jesus, said to him, "You have answered correctly. do this and you will live. Yeah. Or you will experience the Zoe or life of God. And that's a key point. So I'd like to define that one passage there as he gave the answer to Jesus as what God would call the divine requirement. Now it's very important to understand that, because it's from that very passage or that very principle that all things, and I said all things, that includes all the things of the kingdom, all the Word of God, the fullness of the Word of God, the absoluteness and fullness of Christ and the fullness of our inheritance in Christ, are all based on that one very principle. And that is precisely why throughout the centuries that people have become confused, doctrines and traditions have come in which are apart from Christ, because they attempted to understand God, obviously in their own understanding, but to understand Him apart from giving themselves completely to Him. Amen. It's that simple. Amen. That's the reason why, whether it's the first day or the second day church, they plateaued consistently at a certain point where they were comfortable. At the very point, they stopped seeking God with all their heart, and that's why we have the mess. But we're not going to deal very much with what's gone on in the past. Like Paul said, forgetting the things that have passed or have gone by, we are going to now move in to the fullness of what the Father intended for the church. And as a matter of fact, it was amazing. I don't usually get titles for teachings. I don't really know what I'm going to teach until I start. But he gave me a title. The Father gave me a title, and it was intimacy, the key to the fullness of transition. Now, a couple of definitions there, just briefly, and I know you're all familiar with those words, but when you put them all together, they're very powerful in light of the plan that God has for us. Intimacy is defined as something characterized by pronounced closeness of friendship or association, deeply personal. I want you to begin to allow the Holy Spirit to paint that image in your heart, because as I've said before, as the title said, there's a key here for us to enter into the fullness of our inheritance in Christ and thus make the fullness of the transition into kingdom living. We've touched on it. Let's be honest. There's some glorious things that have happened. And we've seen some anointed servants of God, both men and women, come forth with great revelation. But we're all entering into this together, into the fullness together, hand in hand, in the sight of the Father. Fullness, the state or quality of being full. Now, that means a couple of things to us. We talk about being full or filled with the Holy Spirit. That's very, very significant. We talk about the fullness of God's plan for the church, the desire that He has for a spotless and unblemished church. Now, another thing I want you to keep in mind is that now is the time when God is revealing the truth, or the truth is being revealed in His absoluteness. It's very simple. The kingdom principles are very simple. But they're all predicated on having a revelation, a continuing revelation, of the absoluteness of God. Amen. There's no partiality in God at all. Transition, the act or state of passing from one place, condition or action, to another. The time, period, or place of such passage. We all know that those who have been seeking God have been in a time of transition. You know, God has been dealing with us individually in our lives, first of all, of course, in our relationship with Him, so that we can be pure vessels of His love, first of all, to each other, obviously, and then as a corporate body in one accord, in true unity. Those are very significant words, because that is where the fullness of God's power will be released. Will not be released in division or strife. That's foolishness and total immaturity. We know that. So, you know, God has dealt with us and caused us to allow Him to confront our fears so that His perfect love can cast out any ground of fear. So first of all, again, we can be pure vessels. And secondly, the devil will have no opportunity in us. We are not a church that are going to just defend ourselves and beat off the devil for ourselves. We are an army that will march. And when God marches, and when God uses the word to tread upon the enemy, then that's what we'll be doing. So it's very, very important to keep this principle of a heart wholly given to God. It's very, very important. And so there are some keys to coming into that place and to staying in that place. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians 5. Yeah, thanks, Mom. There are so many wonderful principles in the Word of God, obviously. But what's happening in these days, to those at least who are seeking God, is that the Word is beginning to be revealed by the Holy Spirit in a more absolute way. As Bill mentioned earlier, there's no end to God. I mean, He's not limited. You know, He's not going to run out of things to bless us with in eternity, and He's not going to run out of things here, of course. So it's very, very important to understand, and by the time I'm done, I'm believing that the Holy Spirit will paint a picture somewhat, or at least a glimpse, because it's really incomprehensible where we're going. To even the most sanctified mind and renewed mind, it's very difficult. We are going to be a people who walk by revelation. So all these things will come together, and we'll understand what comes forth or what takes place as people begin to seek Him with their whole heart. The key is that there's a certain empowerment that comes, and we'll discuss that further. So in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1, "Now as to the times and the epochs, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you, for you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. While they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly, like birth pangs upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. For those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation," and that would be the fullness of our salvation. That's the complete covenant that was bought for us by the blood of Jesus, "who died for us, that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing. But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Amen. Live in peace with one another. And we urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with all men. See that no one repays another with evil for good, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all men. Rejoice always." There's some key absolute principles in this passage, and this is the one that I said all that to get to. Pray without ceasing. Now, I want to define that a bit. I mean, when we all started to serve the Lord, we all had our definitions of prayer. You know, some was kneeling by your bed with your hands together. Different things. But really, when you insert in place of the word pray, just say communicate with God without ceasing. Now, what Paul's speaking of here is simply the life of abiding in Christ. And this is where we're headed. And in that place, we are going to see, again, things that are incomprehensible to us. I've already experienced in my life many, many times, it seems to have, I've come to a place where I've thought, you know, Father, you've blessed me more than I thought I could be blessed this side of heaven. Amen. You know, and from time to time in different things. And the key to this whole thing here is not to be, oh, well, we've got to pray and have a wrong thing or image. It's simply communication with the Father, with His Word, on His terms. Amen. Now, I'm going to talk a bit about the inner chamber, and I'm going to talk about the importance of that. I know people have touched on it and they've talked about it, but I want to say this to you, that our lives are to be totally ordered by God, ordered by the Holy Spirit, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing. I like, you know, we were talking about this time of testing and trial, and Bill came up with a real gem of a word that I used actually in the midst of that to replace trial and test. He called it opportunities. And it's a very good word, because it's true. What do we have an opportunity to do? To love God, to continually love God with all our heart, to continually love all those who cross our path. That's what the trial is. I mean, let's make no mistake. I mean, obviously, there are certain things that happen if there's sin, because there are consequences of sin. And the wages of sin is death. So, you know, that sin is going to lead you into darkness. It's going to lead you away from God. It's going to lead you into deception. And, of course, we know in this age, it's the most dangerous age in the entire history of mankind as far as deception goes. And that's in light of the Holy Spirit dwelling in men. So, obviously, Satan has developed schemes that are very subtle. But the point is, we need to be in proper position so that we are in walking entirely by revelation at all times, and to guard our heart with all diligence. And one of the keys to guarding a heart with all diligence is the inner chamber. Now, I just want to define that for you. Maybe it'll clarify it. I mean, people can call it different things. It is the Holy of Holies. It is the pure and unadulterated being in the presence of God with nothing tainting it. It is the secret place. We sang this song. And this is a word that the Father gave me. I mean, he defined it. It's very simple. He said, the inner chamber is that place wherein one communes with me in secret. That means one-on-one. Now, that's not to take away from corporate fellowship in the presence of the Lord. Of course not. But I will say this. God, our God is a God of order. And when we affix ourselves to his order, you will begin to see an amazing result in your life. You will begin to see, by acknowledging him or through acknowledging him in all your ways, you will see him begin to direct your paths. And the key to that is, it's going to take faith to do that. Because, you know, we can look at a situation and say, well, we should do this or we should do that. But God knows all things. And he knows he's got a million facets of his will working around us and through us. And we can't comprehend that. And how much more is that going to escalate in this last hour as the Holy Spirit is continually outpoured to a greater degree? So I'll continue on with this. So wherein one communes with me in secret, and it means shutting out the world and shutting in themselves unto me. The inner chamber is not first and foremost a time frame. It is first and foremost a proper heart position. And I'll tell you this, if people don't desire the fullness of God's will for their life, if they don't love the Lord with their whole heart, then they won't enter into that position. Because first of all, the devil doesn't want them in that position, because it is the place of empowerment. And it is the key, again, to the fullness of transition into the fullness of kingdom living. So it's first and foremost a proper heart position before me as each new day begins. As one abides in the proper heart position, then they shall surely be doing perfectly all that I require of them concerning the inner chamber. Therefore, let each one of my children walk in the manner in which I have assigned them concerning the inner chamber. And so, again, the onus is put on each individual child of God to seek the Father, to find out what he would have them do. But I'll tell you this, I've tried it both ways. This other way doesn't work. You know, one is filled with trouble and turmoil and you know, trying to beat the devil off, and the other one, in when it's experienced continually, leads to a flowing in the Spirit. And whether you are confronted with this or that, or anything else, the key is you will be in the right spot at the right time doing the right thing in the sight of God. That is the kingdom. And that is the way the church is going to be in this last hour. And because, as I said before, there's a certain empowerment in our time in the presence of God, we then go out and have that anointing flowing. And so that's the one point. Now the next point is, and it's a glorious thing to me, or probably many others have been in a place over the years where you've been separated unto God. You've been drawn out of the denominational structure, either for good or at least for long periods of time. And you learn to develop that fellowship with God. And when people come to this understanding, it's really quite simple. If we have right relationship with the Father and His Word, then the rest of our relationships will come into perfect sequence. Now, that doesn't mean you're not going to receive persecution, maybe even from family members. But what it means is you are going to continually be in a position to love them and to fulfill God's purpose, help fulfill God's purpose. He can use you to help them come to a point, because we're coming to a point. And I'll just say this right now. Many of you have been believing for long-lost friends or long-lost relatives. As the third-day church begins to take legs, we are going to begin to see these things that we've prayed for, these strongholds that were seemingly impossible to the natural circumstances. Maybe even people seem to be getting worse. We are going to see the power of God, which is the love of God, hit those situations, and we're going to see many, many things come down. Our job now is not to look out there and see what's happening. Our job is to be in right relationship with God, so that, and then we have that deep knowing that what He has given us through vision, not just standing for people, but how about a vision that you have for your part in the body? We've all been given vision and revelation for a church that up until this time hasn't existed. I mean, it has existed in the heavens, but it hasn't existed out there. That's why some of the people I deal with, they're having trouble. And the reason is they've got their eyes fixed on the second day church rather than Jesus. No, it's time to get, you'll never know where God is taking you unless you have your eyes fixed on Him. It's like trying to look at the highway and drive with your eyes looking back. You're not going to last very long in that. And prophetically, that's actually very true in this hour. Those people who don't have their eyes fixed on Jesus will be taken off course. They will be swayed by the winds of doctrines. But I will say this, that those people who are seeking first the kingdom, who are loving the Lord their God and seeking to love the Lord their God with their whole heart day in, day out, they will soon come into their kingdom position or the fullness of their kingdom position. So, be encouraged. We have hit a point. I mean, to me, I'm standing up here and I'm giving a summation of things, and I'm going to touch on some things to come. But the thing is, this is a time. Here's some people that are in one accord. One accord is a simple thing. I think Bill said it either last Sunday or the Sunday before. He said there's only one doctrine. It's all in here. It's one doctrine. It all hooks into the same one, our God. So anyway, it's this whole fact of people seeking first the kingdom and laying down, taking up the cross, laying down the self-life, that is allowing people to come into one accord. And we've all experienced it. It's an amazing thing, and it's going to grow. When I first came to Kremling, the first thing I noticed was the corporate anointing. Amen. That's the thing, and it was missing. God had to train us over the years, I know, and to teach us to come into His presence first and not seek after flesh and blood all the time, because that's not going to get you very far, as we know. So, but I've noticed this, and it's a glorious thing. I mean, I really believe that the key to these past 5 months is that God, it has brought us to a place where we are entering into rest, where we finally come to the realization that no matter what crosses our path, we have ceased from striving to do our own works. Yeah. And it's just a simple thing. Whatever situation comes up, the only thing we have to do is acknowledge Him in all our ways and allow Him to direct our paths. I know a lot of people in the past have had trouble hearing God. But the simple reason is they're not tuned to the right frequency. Amen. And that's why, again, that word that I just shared there, it's simply a matter of getting a revelation from God, what He requires of you. There's not going to be any doctrine saying you have to do this or have to do that. This is the way of the Father. He wants you to come to Him and find out what He would have you do. Amen. Knowing, that it will always be for your greatest eternal benefit and for all those who cross your path. Amen. It takes faith to do that, and faith works by love. So it takes loving God to do that. Let's go over to Matthew 7. you know, obviously these scriptures are familiar to people, but I'll tell you, one thing that's happening in this last hour is these scriptures are beginning to explode off the page. They really are. I mean, whereas they were, oh yes, enter in by the narrow way. That's nice. But now it's getting into the depths of our being and empowering us to actually walk on that path and to have that realization that the broad way is indeed that wide path to destruction. So Matthew 7, starting in verse 13. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And many are those who enter by it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it. Now, it's a very interesting time, and I've seen some very interesting things as far as Satan's schemes go. And I can't go into all this right now, but the very fact is that God wants his church in that position of abiding in Christ. And where's Christ seated? At the right hand of the Father in the heavenly places. Now, if you can see this with spiritual eyes, you'll see that you have the earth, the world, you have the principalities and powers in the heavenly places and so on, and then you have the church up here. Now, that's where we're supposed to be in spirit. Now, that's the exact position from which Paul said, be not ignorant of the enemy's schemes. In other words, if you're not in this position, you will be ignorant of the schemes. Now, just briefly, as the outpouring of the Holy Spirit begins to come forth through the glorious church, then that the Spirit is going to be poured out, and it's going to affect the people in the earth and in the world, of course. But also, at the same time, Satan is going to try and reign out with the release of these different hordes of demonic beings. And as such, I'll just give you two examples, a spirit of terror and a spirit of panic. And it's very, very important for Christians to be in this particular place, because you're either going to be raining down on Satan and treading him under your feet, or you're going to be rained down upon by all this havoc and chaos that's about to come forth. And that's why God is calling his people out of Babylon, calling his people out of the world, and to come into that place, that secret place of his presence. And it's very, very important. This is not a game. It never was a game. But, you know, we're not playing church anymore. We are the church. And we need day in and day out to be seeking for the fullness of the Father's will concerning these things, because we're in good shape. We've been blessed, and we're blessed to be a blessing. That was one of the first principles that God ever instituted through Abraham. I mean, Abraham being a blessing. He said, you know, you're blessed to be a blessing. And then Israel would be blessed to be a blessing. So we're not just blessed so we could sit there and, you know, watch the, you know, people go down in flames. We're here to be those pure vessels of love that will, even at the last second, pull that person who's just lying there in the gutter, maybe crying out to God. It's very, very important. You know, God is simplifying things for us. We may have been through tests and trials, but the basic thing we were ever called to was to love our God with our whole heart and to love each other and all those who cross our path. Come into that. So, in the world today, we've seen, Bill said this many times, that we've seen sometimes that the church looks more like the world than they do look like Jesus. So if you're going to look like the world, you're going to act like the world, then you're going to think like the world. You're going to not be in a position to understand the things of God. And you know, this is the fullness of time. I don't know how much time we have left in this dispensation of the glorious church. I do know this, though, because God told me this. He said that when this thing, like a snowball on the top of a hill, on a mountain, starts off, it starts to roll. And he said, when this thing gains full momentum, it will happen very quickly. So our job is to be ready and to enter into that place of rest, knowing that he is faithful. That is very key. The one thing that, if I had to stop right now and I just had to leave you with one impartation, is that the Father wants you to come to a place where you trust him. And the devil has worked overtime. That is his scheme from birth in a person, to try and keep them apart from that place of intimate fellowship with God. Because again, it is the place of empowerment, and we are going to be an empowered church. And we are going to do the things that Bill mentioned, great and mighty things, greater things, as Jesus said, than he did. All right, and just back to Matthew 5. Again, getting back to that whole concept of seeking first God in all things, and coming to this place. There's a scripture in Ephesians 3. I don't know if I'll get there or not, but I may not. It depends. And I was reading this last year at the conference, actually. And the one thing that jumped out at me, I'd never seen it before. I mean, the words were still there, but I never saw it. And it was where in Ephesians 3, where Paul was talking about being rooted and grounded in love. And that's, we understand that. We have to be rooted and grounded in love, because if you're not, you'll just get blown away by anything that's apart from that. But the words right after that say that you may be able to comprehend. And then he went into to the fullness of our inheritance in Christ, the things of the kingdom, and all those things. So you see, if we're not rooted and grounded in love, we will not comprehend what's going on in this last hour. But you are a people who are rooted and grounded in love. I know you are. You wouldn't be here. And so the fact is, we're entering into a time like no other. You know, we're going to be a people, again, that need to walk by revelation, walk by faith, you know, walk by love, walk by obedience, walk by the anointing that abides within us. And then we'll comprehend. And in Matthew 5, a scripture that kind of goes with that, it's just, you know, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see. Yeah, they'll see God, the scripture says. But blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see. See what? They shall see God with the eyes of their spirit. They shall understand Him. They shall know Him. Because it's only the pure in heart that enter into the inner chamber. You know, I've said this many times before, but it's a wonderful plan that God has instituted for the glorious church. It's a foolproof plan. And the reason it's a foolproof plan is because fools won't enter into this way. They won't. The Bible says in Proverbs that a fool keeps his eyes on the ends of the earth, or the ways, or the intentions of the world, and its selfishness, and arrogance, and pride, and all those things. And so it's a foolproof plan. Because if you don't love God with all your heart, you're going to miss it. Jesus told us, you read the writings of Jesus, read the words He spoke. He said, enter by the narrow way. You know, why? There's a reason. Our God is a God of purpose. Our God is a God of perfect purpose. That's why, as we come into that place of a deeper trust in Him and in His Word, He can bring us places where we would never go if we even stop for a second to lean upon our own understanding. And so, and all the same, well, every little instance, I can remember starting out, I was so filled with fear, I mean, I couldn't even take a step forward, hardly. And, you know, but I'd take those little steps, and I'd see God work. You know, another little step, and over many years, I finally learned that there is only one way, and that way is to trust God. Yeah. You know, it's funny, when we start out, maybe we come out of a legalistic type of environment, we're always looking at this as rules and regulations, and God's trying to keep us from doing something. Well, He is. He's trying to keep us from getting killed. Yeah. You know? But I think what happens is, when we come to know God, we come into that place of His presence, and over the amount of time we've spent with Him and through the years, we come to that place where we can simply trust Him. Now, everybody can relate to that on a natural level. I mean, you have people in your life, even as Christians, but even on a natural level, if you want to take it down there, you have people you can trust. If somebody says, I'll meet you in Silverthorne at, you know, 12:30, they're going to be there unless something happens. You know, you can trust people. And so we know that at a natural level. But Satan works, Satan works overtime to keep us into those little areas of mistrust. You know, it's like, oh, there's little excuses. You know, it's like, well, we trust God for the big things, but in the little things, we have to, I better handle that. It's an unconscious thing. I'm not saying people are, well, no, God's not going to get this right, I'll do it. I don't mean that. It's a very subtle thing. And all of a sudden, we find ourselves doing these things. Actually, turn over to Luke 16. You know, I received a word a few years ago now, and it started off, and the Father said, most of my people don't realize that I am an exacting God. And I thought, oh, Because that word, to me, had a negative connotation. Exacting, you know, an exacting school teacher. You know, stern type of thing. No, it just simply means exact. It means that he has, a perfect purpose in all things. I better go to Luke 16. there we go. It's catching, yeah. Okay, Luke 16:10. He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. Now, this is a kingdom principle. So, if you don't be like me and try and, you know, see if there's a way around this. I didn't do it on purpose, but years ago. No, it says, if you're faithful in a very little, he who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. And we've all been there. I said, oh, Father, if I just had $1 million, I'd do that. And I wasn't even obeying him in the simple little things, you know. So, it's very important to understand that. And he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the use of unrighteous mammon, who will entrust the true riches to you? And if you have not been faithful in the use of that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? Now, the one point I want to make here is the fact that the true riches are the revelation, is the revelation knowledge of our God. That's the true riches. I mean, you know, we're coming down to absolutes here in the end of the age. And people are going to be found either loving the Lord their God with their whole heart or loving money. That's it. There's no, and money and all the things that money can buy. So, you know, it's an absolute principle. And the scripture says in Timothy that the love of money is the root of all evil. Well, the love of God is the root of all everything that's good, that he has planned. And so we're coming down to absolutes. And God is about to judge his church. And I'll deal with that scripture now. 1 Corinthians 3. There is so much. But you know, the one thing that God said to me about the third day anointing, and that includes the whole church. It's not just the fivefold ministry. You know, I am going to go into that. It's very, very important for everybody to understand this. I mean, have a revelation of it, not just, you know, see the kind of image that's portrayed. We are all equal in the sight of the Father. And I'll share this vision briefly. We just like a platform like this, and I saw standing on it, hand in hand, linked like this, hand in hand, men, women, children, black, white, everything known to man. And the Father said, this is the way I see my children, just standing side by side, not apostles. It doesn't make any difference. Now, that's very important. That's a simple thing, but a lot of people don't have that revelation yet. They need to have it. Otherwise, they're going to see themselves as less than they are in the Father's eyes. And that's very important. There's another important element of the inner chamber. When you are consistently in the inner chamber, you will get the necessary or the revelation you need. You will see yourself as the Father sees you. That is a glorious thing. And in that, you will be set free from the fear of what others think. You will be set free from seeking after the approval of men or the praises of men. And you will be able to focus very clearly on God's call for your life. And you know, I can sit here and tell you about the inner chamber. I know many of you obviously have experienced that. But in that consistent place, you will come to a place where fear will be removed, that ground of fear. And from that place, you will gain vision, you will gain revelation of what's to come. And that's where we all need to be right now, because it's a critical time. Proper positioning, being who you're, excuse me, being in the place that God wants you in. We are an army about to move with precision. And it is an excellent thing to behold. I have to touch on this. The wealth transfer. Turn over to Isaiah 22. I'll keep your place there. Isaiah's in the Old Testament. Amen. Now, in Isaiah 23, there are some people who are a little more expert at teaching this particular passage, but there's a key thing I want you to get here. In this passage, there's a prophecy about Tyre. And Tyre, at that time, was the great port of merchandising. It was the system. It was the key place in the world system as far as merchandising and so on. And so, in verse 17, here Isaiah is giving a prophecy, and here's a prophecy that applies to us now. And it will come about at the end of 70 years that the Lord will visit Tyre. Then she will go back to her harlot's wages and will play the harlot with all the kingdoms on the face of the earth. And her gain and her harlot's wages will be set apart to the Lord. It will not be stored up or hoarded, which is what the world does. But her gain will become sufficient food and choice attire. Now, this is the key. For those who dwell in the presence of the Lord. And now, dwelling or abiding in the presence of the Lord begins again with the inner chamber. And then, of course, it is as our steps are ordered by the Lord. He brings us in touch, in contact with people. But the key is, and I don't want to just talk about the wealth transfer, this is the key to receiving the fullness of all that God has for us in Christ, is to dwell in the presence of the Lord. Amen. It is the key to absolute empowerment in all things. Like I said, God has simplified things for us, but we've got to show up in that place that He would have us show up in. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 3. Again, I'm up here talking. There are so many things. There are so many things. But in this time that God's given me, I just asked Him that He would impart to you a revelation of Himself that would again lead me, as I'm speaking, into a deeper trust of Him, because it is the key. It's not very pleasant to be around people you can't trust. And it's certainly not a very good thing to be thinking we can't trust God, because He's the only one that's perfect. So you see the deception there. And as I said, that Satan works overtime to keep people there, away from that place of fellowship. I mean, I've heard throughout the years, you know, and it's funny because I remember back when I was just starting out, I was in a poster shop, and it was kind of a, well, I don't know if it was New Age. I don't even, that might have been before that really came in big time, I mean, in this era. But there was a poster shop, all kinds of posters, you know, rock stars, everything. But here in the corner was a black light poster, like, you know, a black velvet sort of thing, for blue light, sorry, blue light poster. And here it was, Luke 10:27, all nicely scripted. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. So I bought it. I was impressed to buy it. I took it home and put it on my wall. I didn't know then that was going to be a key scripture, you know, for me and for the way that God was going to deal with me in my life and teach me and prepare me. And anyway, there are so many things that are going on now, and glorious things. And there's some writings coming out that are, the Father's really revealing His heart to His people, to those who will listen. But apparently it sounds very strange to those who aren't acclimatized to His presence. Again, there's certain things that happen in His presence that cause us to understand and to be empowered. And if we don't enter into that place, then we don't understand. We're coming down to an absolute time. The deepest desire in my heart is to see every last child of God come into that place of the fullness of their inheritance in Christ. You know, to know Him as He is, and that is the start of all true ministry, is from that place of knowing Him, that place of revelation, and in His presence. So, you know, these are keys. These are simple things. But, you know, God has spent years and years and years dealing with us so that we can come to the place where that's real to our hearts. It doesn't matter about reading the Word of God and having an outward knowledge. We all know that. But in this time of the conflict of the kingdoms, we need to be affixed to the Word of God. We need to be sensitive in our hearts to hearing Him and to doing what he wants. That's why, as you know, when the true government in the church is established, it's not going to be a bunch of people standing up here telling you what to do. Yeah. You know, again, this is so important that as we move out of all these second-day habits, it's not like people sitting there and just, okay, they're receiving, and then they go out. No, no. I mean, even as you people have come here to this conference, you have brought all that God has blessed you with in your life. And it's supplying the whole. It is. And that's the principle. I mean, it doesn't mean people aren't going to stand up here and speak. Of course, there's impartation. And again, I'll go back to that. In the third day anointing, the impartation is this way. You know, for instance, now I'll give you an example with Bill's book, because it's an excellent example. Bill's book, The Third Day Church, is simply a foundational outline. And in it, there are key scriptures and, you know, a little expansion on the scriptures. But, I mean, I know, and Bill knows this, if he sat down to write out what God had given him, he'd still be writing, you know, from the time he started. But that's not the point. God has raised up a group of people whose hearts are wholly given, whose hearts are tender and sensitive, it's fertile soil in there. And so, you know, when these written words or spoken words are imparted, that seed goes in. This is very key. And then when that person goes into the inner chamber, then the Father, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, impart what needs to be imparted from that in them. We don't have time to sit down and read 3,000 books. You know, we're an army ready to move. And so our job simply now is to guard our heart with all diligence, allow that anointed seed. I'm not talking about, this is why Jesus said, take heed what you hear. Don't put yourself in a place where you're hearing things that are going to harden that heart. Dry that soil out so that that seed can't get in. Because I'm telling you, if you are faithful to receive what God is imparting to you, and you go to him, he will explode that thing in your heart. I've seen this work. I mean, I've at times, you know, God has given me a revelation. I've shared it with some people. And then the next thing you know, not minutes later, they're speaking an elevation of what God had just given me, and we're all elevated again. And that's the principle of the body. You know, it's not like listening to one man or listening to one woman. That's been good. I thank God for every righteous thing that was done in the past in the church. That's not the point. But now God is raising up a people who are empowered and are receiving from him. And this whole thing works together so that each member is supplying the whole. And that's how the one accord comes about. That's how the establishment of the true local church comes about. And that's where strife and division is stopped cold. You know, we can stop the devil cold. Yeah. One of the things that God's given me throughout the years, and as I was writing, is that, you know, he's always put the onus on his children. And when he's talking about the devil, and he said, they have allowed the devil. They have allowed the devil. They have allowed the devil. You know, he's made the provision for us to be not ignorant of his schemes and to crush him under our feet. But it's going to take everything that God's given us. And we're going to have to walk in all the light that God has blessed us with each day. That's very, very important. Okay, 1 Corinthians 3. We've talked somewhat of judgment. And, you know, a lot of people have this view that judgment is going to somehow come in a lightning bolt from somewhere above. And in a sense, it is, actually. But I talked earlier about the fact that the church is called to that place of being seated at the right hand of the Father in the heavenly places with Christ. It's from that place, as we abide in that place, that as we go forth in obedience to God, the words and actions we speak, the anointing of love, and that's what it is, that goes forth, regardless of what people think. Our job is to walk in perfect love. We can't be worried about what people think. There'll be people tell you you're not walking in love when you're getting something right from the throne room. And the point is this, each man's work shall become evidence. Let's just read this scripture. 1 Corinthians 3. Let's start at verse 10. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another is building upon it. But let each man be careful how he builds upon it. Amen. That is key. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man builds upon the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it. Well, I can proclaim to you that this day has arrived. Because it is to be revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built upon it remains, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as through fire. Now I just want to talk to you a bit about the outworking of this time spent in the inner chamber. And it's this. As we become pure vessels of love, you will go forth to certain spots, certain places, and you will speak certain words and do certain things. And sometimes you'll be conscious of what's happening going in. Sometimes you won't. But the one thing you'll be assured of is that you're speaking in love and that you are representing the Father, representing Jesus, representing, of course, the Holy Spirit. And things will happen. I've seen this in action. It's an amazing thing. The words you speak will cause what is in the deepest part of the hearts that cross your path to become evident, first to them, and ultimately bringing them to a point of decision, the decision being to love the Lord their God with all their heart, or to continue loving the things below rather than the things above. And this is the good thing. And to those, it's why it's an amazing thing to me. It's always amazing that when you go forth and you speak something and a person's heart is filled with the love of God and they're just seeking first the kingdom, then they just, you say that sentence or word or whatever and they receive that and they're blessed, you know, and then they'll have something to say and then you're blessed. And then you can say exactly the same sentence in exactly the same spirit and somebody gets spitting mad. But our key is, and this is, again, there's a significant point here in this, and it's why God has spent so long and been so patient teaching us to walk in love, not worrying what others think. Because, you see, if you have a fear of what others think, it's going to influence what you say. Amen. If your fear, if you are walking in that place of abiding in a total reverence for God and His Word, you will say whatever He wants you to say. At any given moment, you won't be thinking about it. And it's very, very important, because if we're really going to love the lost, if we're really going to love each other, then we are going to have to be willing to take some unpleasantness. Now, I know it's always unpleasant. I'm not going to sit here and say that when people, you know, rail against you or say that what you're doing or saying is not of God, that's not a pleasant thing. But I'll tell you, God has given us a thick skin in that sense. And, you know, our job is to just stay in this thing. And a lot of religious strongholds are going to come down simply because believers begin to walk in love. They're not, yeah, they know, we know we're right. I mean, we get a revelation from God. We know we have God. And then people say, well, that's not God. And then people start defending themselves or justifying themselves. That will be one of the great curses of this age, is self-justification. When you see somebody that's saying, oh, no, this is God, I'm going to prove it. In that spirit, beware. If you are walking in that place of revelation knowledge, you will have such a deep assurance in your heart, you won't care what anybody thinks. I'm not saying you won't listen to them, because you need to listen to them because you're going to pray for them eventually. But you're going to walk in love, and there's an anointing there that comes. Jesus was standing in front of Pilate. And in front of the Pharisees, you know, in that tribunal there. And did he justify himself? No. He's the only one that ever had the right to do it in the first place. And he didn't. And there's an anointing that comes as you make the choice to walk in love at all costs to yourself and suffer some of that unpleasantness. This is why a self-exalted spirit is such a dangerous thing. Because, I'm not going to go into this now, but stumbling blocks. Jesus said stumbling blocks. You are stumbling blocks because you set your interests or your heart on the interests of men rather than the interests of God. And so that sets you into it. Shelley's been preaching about religious spirits and all these things for weeks. And the whole thing is that if people's interests are set, or their heart rather is set on the interests of man, their own interests, self-interest, they will be totally blinded in this age. And they will think they're doing God a favor by telling you just how far out of God's will you are. Be encouraged. That, you know, because this is all going to end soon. And just like Paul wrote, each man's work will become evident. So, you know, my point is, just to summarize what I've just said, the reason why it's so important to get in the presence of God and be in the inner chamber is because that's where the empowerment comes to rise above these things. It doesn't come anywhere else. I tried. I didn't mean to try, but I thought there must be a way around this, you know, conciliator type of thing. It doesn't work, you know. I mean, it just doesn't work. I know you know that, but I mean, it's when it gets down in your heart and you realize it's just total futility to do or seek anything apart from God. So it's very, very important that we come into that place of empowerment in the inner chamber, and we're trusting God, and we're not moved by the fleeting feelings of the flesh. I mean, we were all babies once in the Lord, and of course, we came out of an environment our entire lives that was based on, you know, outward appearances, you know, what we saw, what we felt, what we hear, you know, but now we're a people that walk by revelation, and in our heart, our sensitive heart, in a sensitive heart, the voice of God can be heard. He's not trying to keep things from you. The Bible says that he withholds no good thing. That means anything he has for them from those who walk uprightly, where? Before him. You know, another point, it's a simple thing, but how in heaven's name can we walk in obedience if we don't know what to do? And the subtle deception that's crept into the Second Day Church is that, okay, we're seeking God on this, and they'll seek God, and they might seek him for a day, they might seek him for a week, they might seek him for a month. But somewhere in their heart, they had made the determination that, well, if God doesn't speak here soon, I'm going to have to do something. And we've got a whole church built, or parts of the church, built on that very principle. Well, I'm telling you, those walls aren't going to stand. There's absolutely no way. Turn over to John 15. It's an amazing thing to stand up here and try to summarize all the years and bring people, to summarize where we've come to now. And I'm sure this weekend, before we all leave here, we're going to have a deeper revelation, both personally and corporately, as to where things are headed. Because there are some glorious things out there and some glimpses that we've already had. But this thing is going to take legs, and we're going to see the reality of the kingdom in the midst of the people. John 15, chapter 1. Would you believe verse 1? I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. You know, it's funny. I'm sitting here thinking back 20 years, and the scripture's in Hebrews 12, where it talks about the Father chastening his children. I mean, they're real. You know, I so appreciate him personally for what he's done in my life. I mean, I know you all feel that way. But I mean, I look back, and I was just praying this morning. I just took a few moments before the music ended and went in and prayed. And I was just kind of thanking him for all the years, and particularly his patience and mercy. I used to pride myself a little in the natural, you know, being a little quick. You know, I could get things. Boy, oh boy. You know, I mean, over and over and over, you know, God had to teach me lessons, but he stuck with me, just as he's sticking with you. And all to bring us to the place where all the things we've gone through are for not only our greatest good, of course, that's what a loving father always does for his child, but also for the good of all those people out in the world who don't have a clue. You know, quite frankly, I'm not moved by what the world's doing anymore. I know what the world's doing, but I also know what God's doing, and I know that, again, we do not have the capacity at this point to comprehend the magnitude of what the glorious church will mean, what the impact will be in this earth. And so there's no use sitting around trying to figure it out either. I mean, thank God for the revelation, the vision he's given us. Our job now is to be pure vessels of his love. Whatever that means to each individual, it doesn't make any difference what God's called you to. That is the first prerequisite to all things, because this is what Jesus is talking about here. Because we can do nothing apart from him. Nothing. The absoluteness of his words are now exploding into the hearts of those people who truly love him, and causing them, empowering them to understand. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see. They shall see exactly what they need to see in this hour. It is a great thing to have vision this last hour. The deceptions, the subtle deceptions of the spirit of Antichrist that have come into place, I'm telling you, they are taking some children of God into places where they have no right to be, and believing it's God. That's it doesn't matter where we're called to. You could be called to any place in the world, but you better be filled with the Spirit of God. Because if you're not filled with the Spirit of God, you're going to be filled with that spirit that is anti the Anointed One and his anointing, and anti-love, actually. It's all it is. The subtlety of the scheme is simply this. It's the love of self, cleverly disguised through helping people and doing this and doing that. Boy, you can help people, but boy, I'll tell you, when you walk by the Spirit of God and you impart the love of God to them, then not only will they receive the love of God, but they'll come to a place where they'll allow God to help them, and they'll come into the fullness of what they're called to. All hell's about to break loose. But I'm telling you this right now, that we are a people that need have no fear, because we are empowered. And I've said this, you know, to the people here in the times from time to time, that we are a people that are more prepared than we even realize. You know, we haven't been thrust out into those life and death situations. I'm not talking about, I know there's people all in nations of the world already are in that. But I mean in situations that are more critical than we've ever experienced before. But I guarantee you, if you're seeking the kingdom of God, if you're seeking first his will, if you are seeking to walk in love at all costs to yourself, when you come into these positions, and we all will, when you come into these positions, no matter how unpleasant they may get, there's two things that are assured. One is you will overcome, and two, you will impart perfect representation of God and his word and his heart to those people. Amen. And that's our job. You can't force anybody to do anything, and you shouldn't be trying. There's many people who have. It's called a control spirit. That's not going to work. God's, as a matter of fact, as God comes forth now to judge his church, so that we can be that purified vessel, and he's going to judge every religious spirit. He is going to take down every spirit of control, both in the church and in the family, which is just a microcosm of the church. It's very, very important that we become pure vessels of love. John 15, continuing. I love this. Verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, again, abiding, presence, fellowship, association, dwelling, make your home there, bringing every thought captive to the revelation that you have. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish. That's what my translation says. Ask whatever you desire, and it shall be done for you. I remember when I read that in the beginning, I was looking at myself when I read that scripture, and I thought, well, I don't, that doesn't sound possible, but it is. Amen. Again, this time of fellowship with God, and whatever that means to you personally, and consistently communicating with him, sometimes you're conscious of it, sometimes you're not, but you're always in your heart acknowledging him, will produce godly desire. It means you won't want to do anything, you won't desire anything apart from the desire that God's placed in your heart, which is always for your best. What a simple deception it has been all these years in many cases to keep people out of an absolute trust of God. Now, the devil's had many tools, You know, I'm not going to go into this. I got a lot of sermons here. I could preach on this. But the fact is that, you know, men have been used greatly to break down the structure in true authority. And you know, of course, that's resulted in women being, for the most part, kept out of their proper position in the kingdom. That's ending now. That's you know, you don't want to be somebody, and these people, you aren't, but you'll run into people who are. You don't want to be in that position where you're keeping a child of God, male or female, from entering into the fullness of what the Father has for them. Amen. I know what he's had to say about that. Don't if you know of anybody that's slipping over into that side, you pray for them. Because their time will be short if they don't. You know, I mean, Jesus mentioned that when he talked to the Pharisees, and he talked about, he rebuked them, and he said, it's bad enough that you're doing what you're doing and not entering into the kingdom, but you're turning around because of that and not allowing the children of God to enter into it. That's a secondary judgment there, and it's going to be a double portion that we've talked about in the negative for those people. So it's very, very important to understand, again, that this certain empowerment comes. This certain empowerment comes, and from this time with God, and it is the key to all things. And I know that God will do what he needs to do with that scripture. And I just pray that every person here just receive the fullness of everything that God has for them this weekend, because we're about to, I don't know what's going to happen exactly, but we're about to go out in this together. The connections made here will be eternal. You can count on that. So, Father, we just thank you for this time. We just praise you, Father, that you are leading us and have led us into a position of trust. And we thank you, Lord, that the rest of this weekend you just continue to reveal your heart to us. And we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.